Len, it is Masters Week, and we have seen some interesting golf played the last 2 days at Augusta National, and the golf course seemed a little dried out coming in. Maybe that was their plan because there was rain expected late in the day yesterday and today, and who knows, maybe even tomorrow morning. As a result, as the rain has come in, the course has softened up a little bit, but the fast and firm conditions the golfers were greeted with in the first round really led to some interesting scores, and I believe a total of about 222 over par for the first day.
Yeah, it's been a strange Masters. My pick for everything seems to be Dustin Johnson. He didn't do well. We're missing some good players for the weekend rounds, but I'm fascinated by one guy right now. This Will Zalatoris, who is in the final group today, playing with leader Justin Rose. I mean, this Will Zalatoris, he's the number one guy right now in the standings of the Korn Ferry Tour. So it doesn't seem like he belongs there at all, but he's been playing great for the for two rounds. And, you know, I don't know what the weather changes will do there, but if they make the course softer and make the greens a little slower, who knows what he could do. It's good to see a Cinderella story of that magnitude at the Masters.
Yeah, it sure is. And let's go back to Dustin Johnson for a second. A lot of people in shock that he is not there for the weekend after missing the cut, which these days is somewhat hard to do at the Masters. Most of the people who miss the cut are the older champions that are, or past champions that are still playing. It's the amateur players that get invited. You know, sometimes it's tour pros that just really seem to be off their game and are a little overmatched by the golf course. And you have to wonder, will people say, should Dustin Johnson have played last week in Texas like he scheduled himself to do and then said, well, I'm just going to go home and work on my game at home? Well, whatever he did at home did not translate back to the golf course this week at Augusta National.
He has had an interesting few weeks. I got to believe he's a bit distracted. You know, he didn't play very well in the match play tournament 2 weeks ago, and that's why, and that was when I encouraged him to enter the Valero Texas Open. He enters it, and then just as quickly he drops out. Then, right before the Masters, he announces that his $16 million home in Jupiter was up for sale, and now it is sold. And he hasn't, you know, he seems to have a lot going on right now that would take his attention away from golf, but it's the wrong time to have something else going on in your mind when you're playing in the Masters and you're the defending champion. So strange little period of the year for Dustin Johnson. No doubt he's going to come back and play well. He always does, but you know there's got to be some background going on with him missing the cut.
The interesting thing is the road that lies ahead for him due to the fact we've kind of entered the season of majors now. And the next one is in South Carolina, his home state, where he grew up, even though it's not Myrtle Beach. It's down the road a little few miles into Charleston. And then you go back to California where he's, you know, had been living, and he always plays well out at Pebble Beach and the California courses, and you know, you've got the U.S. Open and Torrey Pines out there before the players go overseas to the Open Championship in July. So it seems like this year the majors were really set up for him to potentially make a run, and I'm not sure after what we saw this week that he might do that.
You know, I tell you, they couldn't have been set up any better for him. You're absolutely right with Kiowa and then California. I mean, it would have seemed like this could have even been a greater year, the greatest year that he's had yet. But now it doesn't seem like that's going to materialize, although maybe that's a little premature to say something like that. I mean, we've got Brooks Koepka having injury problems. He didn't play well at Augusta. And Rory McIlroy didn't play well at Augusta. So it's been a strange Masters, but it's, you know, that tournament, no matter who's up there on the leaderboard or whatever, it's always terrific drama and great viewing. So I'm looking forward to watching those last two rounds.
Tell you what, you mentioned Rory McIlroy, and he hit one of the more interesting shots of the week. He actually hit his dad out on the golf course on a par 5 second shot. And the thing was, is, you know, his dad's a tall guy, and he could see his father, you know, just there off the fairway, down the fairway a little bit, and thought his dad was a good aiming point, and then figured his shot would turn over a little bit right to left as it got out in that area. But the ball never turned, and he ended up hitting his dad in the leg, and he and his caddy had a good laugh. And, you know, different players have hit spectators when spectators have been out there in recent years, and sometimes those spectators get a golf ball, they get a glove, and they asked Rory McIlroy in the press tent, were you going to get your dad something for getting hit? And he suggested that he was just going to go to the medical people and get him an ice bag. So maybe he didn't need an autographed glove from his son or an autographed golf ball. But anyway, interesting story there. Rory missing the cut. Brooks Koepka, I thought, would make the cut. He did not. A valiant effort trying to play after that knee surgery from 3 weeks ago. You have to believe, though, that Brooks will be in better shape a month from now at the PGA Championship, and hopefully he feels better by then. One of the guys that has gotten a lot of focus this week because his game has returned is Jordan Spieth, who won last week at the Texas Valero Open. And before he had that title wrapped up, CBS during the NCAA Final Four last weekend, Jim Nantz being asked on the air by his broadcast partners, his basketball broadcast partners, who he picked to win the Masters this week. And Jim Nantz picked Jordan Spieth to win. So you wonder if all of a sudden, you know, that put a little pressure on Jordan. He seems to be playing well. He's in contention. But I thought it was a bold pick by Jim Nantz last week at the NCAA basketball tournament to pick Jordan Spieth to win this week.
Definitely a bold pick. Spieth would be a very popular champion here, this one. But, you know, I tell you, Justin Rose, it's awfully hard to go wire to wire, and he's led the first two rounds. But what we might not want to forget here is that Justin Rose has had his moments at Augusta and his chances to win. I mean, it wouldn't be though he wasn't playing very well going into the Masters, he wasn't having his kind of season, but he has been runner-up in that tournament twice, and he lost one of those titles in a playoff to Sergio Garcia. So, you know, he's looking good right now, although leading wire to wire and a lot of good players chasing him, it's a difficult task. But Spieth, you know, the way he's been playing, and it wasn't just the win last week. He has had a series of good finishes without winning. So he's, of course, you know, he's got a great Masters record too. So it wouldn't really be a surprise. I think it'd be a great uplift and a very popular victory within the United States, especially if Spieth does rally over the weekend and gets it done. So, you know, you can't help but pull for him. He's come off of a few years of kind of, for him, lackluster play, but his game is peaking at the right time this year.
Well, a couple of our local players saw some peaking in their game last weekend. And we'll start with Nick Hardy, a final round 60 on the Korn Ferry Tour that bolted him almost 50 spots up the leaderboard on Sunday. But, you know, Korn Ferry Tour or not, 60 is a great score anywhere out on any tour. And you got to congratulate Nick Hardy for that. And it shows that his game is rounding into form. And I got to believe that he will be on the PGA Tour next year when they reshuffle the deck and hand out those next batch of tour cards.
Yeah, Nick has had a kind of a funny year as well. He, before the Korn Ferry Tour season started, there was a big gap from the 4 month break between the last tournament of 2020 and the first one of 2021. So Nick entered three qualifying tournaments for PGA Tour events, made the cut in two of them, and had a couple of real good finishes. That would suggest that he was already ready for the start of the Korn Ferry, but his play wasn't really anything to rave about in the first few Korn Ferry stops until he got everything going. I mean, he was 30-30 on that, on a par 70 course to shoot that 60. I can't remember ever an Illinois player with Illinois connections or backgrounds or whatever shooting a 60 in competition in any tour in any event. I was stunned by it, and every other tour was off this week. So the Corn Ferry is out in Las Vegas this week. So it'll be interesting to see how Nick follows up that great round.
Well, Len, I'm gonna throw one at you here. How about Steve Stricker's opening round 60 at the John Deere Classic a few years back when he and he was upstaged that day. Paul Goidos actually had a 59, and Steve came back in the afternoon and almost put his approach shot on 18 into the hole, which would have matched Goidos' 59. But Steve settled for 60, and then of course rallied to win the tournament over the weekend. Doug Gim, who's had some Sunday issues, finally had one of the best rounds of the day last Sunday at the Texas Valero Open. Doug was pretty far down on the leaderboard going into Sunday. He had an early round before maybe the wind came up a little bit there in the afternoon when we watched Jordan Spieth and Charlie Hoffman battle it out down the stretch. But Doug's had some bad Sundays, but it was nice to see him finally shoot 69 in the final round of a PGA Tour event, move up the leaderboard, and, of course, make himself some money.
Yeah, you know, Doug, I think after the fall event, I would have thought that his status of retaining his card would be somewhat in jeopardy, but he's taken all the doubt out about that, I think, pretty much with the steady play he's had in the 2021 tournaments. But you got to remember, we've still got some majors left and a lot of golf to be played. But it's good to see Doug hanging in there, and really, he seems to be maturing with each tournament of this season, at least.
Len, some interesting news came out of the college ranks. Indiana University announcing the return of a homegrown Indiana player, bolting from the University of Illinois and Mike Small's golf team back to his home state of Indiana. And you have to wonder, again, you know, at the time this young man had to make his college decision, things were talked about improving for the Indiana golf program, including the redo of the golf course down there, now known as the Pafau course. But that golf course is attracting some talent. Indiana's put together a much better golf team, and they were able to get one of their own to transfer back from Illinois to come play golf for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, that was an interesting decision, and I think you've touched on a lot of the aspects of it. I don't know where he would have felt he was at with the Illinois program. I mean, that program has been the top of the Big Ten for basically 11 years. I think they've won 10 out of the last 11. And you know, I don't know where he felt if he wanted to be the star of the show, which it would seem like he'd have a better chance of being that at Indiana. Also, I think it's really important what you'd mentioned earlier, the upgrade in the home course for the Hoosiers. That's got to make a big difference in their recruiting pitch. So I have a feeling that was perhaps a reason why that team is going to start to come on a bit.
Interesting part of college golf is that at least it's sort of back underway. It's nice to hear that these schools are out playing again and doing well. And we saw the Northwestern women, I believe, winning the University of Arizona State University's tournament out there in the Phoenix area. And you know what? It will be exciting to see college golf come down the stretch and eventually have a national championship again this year.
Yeah, that's really good. That was quite a stretch off for that program, which was the whole sport of collegiate golf was really hit hard by the pandemic. I think maybe harder than most any other sport. I mean, I think Illinois won 11 months without a competition. That's pretty hard to keep it all going in that situation. But no, I think the drama of college golf has really been exposed in just recent years. And the way their season fits right into where the between majors and on the pro tours and all, it's given an opportunity to really become a much more of a showcase sport in the collegiate ranks than it used to be.
When we were talking about the transfer, we may not have mentioned the player's name. Noah Gilliard player that is transferring from Illinois back to Indiana. Gilliard, of course, grew up in Indiana, and he said online that his coaching team at Illinois, Mike Small and Justin Bargett, were supportive and good to him. It was a tough conversation to have, but he thought it was in his best interest, and he was looking forward to heading back to his home state of Indiana. And I got to believe that with the Pafau course down there and that golf facility, Indiana is going to probably attract some better players and maybe some of the best players from the state of Indiana. And of course, work is still going on at the University of Illinois and the upgrades down there to what was formerly Stone Creek Golf Club. But now with J. Drew Rogers working on it, the Adkins Golf Facility at the University of Illinois will be a much better golf course when it reopens this fall.
It's going to be interesting, I think, there to see what Illinois does with the course beyond practicing on it. Golf is such a different sport. There aren't many home games there ever. And Stone Creek was, not the place to really have one. Not that it was a bad practice facility or anything. But I'm interested in seeing how Adkins turns out because, maybe it's time for the Illini to host some kind of a special event. I mean, they already have their event at Olympia Fields, but that's not exactly a home game. I'm wondering just when that one's finished, see how it's received, and see if we don't see some more high-profile event over there.
Well, I believe the Illinois women's team has already announced that they'll be hosting an invitational on that golf course when it reopens. Len, speaking of golf in Indiana, we have a couple of notes. First off, our good friends at the French Lick Resort have opened their golf courses for the year. And I hope it's a great return to French Lick for golfers and resort guests this year. Obviously, things a little slow there last year because of the pandemic. But I expect, especially as more and more people get vaccinated and start to travel, I expect the French Lick Resort to be a very popular destination, especially by midsummer this year. And the Senior LPGA Championship will return as well.
Well, that'd be great for French Lick. I mean, those courses they're both really good, I think. I think that the Pete Dye course, of course, is a premier course in the country in my book, and the Donald Ross course has got a lot of history, and it's a great 1-2 punch over there at French Lick. They're doing some building, but the pandemic really struck them because of affected their lodging and affected their casino play. The golf courses were available and open, but it's not the same when the whole resort isn't operating full force. So I wish them nothing but the best. That is, I feel like you do. It's certainly one of our favorite places to visit anytime.
And one other note, a new golf course, a brand new golf course is going to open in Carmel, Indiana, just down the street from Pete Dye's Crooked Stick. And it's another Pete Dye course. Believe it or not, the late Pete Dye, who passed away last year, is going to have another golf course open with his name on it. It had been a course that he laid out years ago, and that due to economy situations and different things, it never got built. And then by the time organizers were able to pull it together and get the golf course going, Pete was in poor health and then eventually passed away. And other people that have worked with Pete in the past got out there to really sort of finish the design. But Holiday Farms Golf Course in Zionsville, Indiana, It's a brand new. It's going to be called a Pete Dye Golf Course since Pete did the layout. And it'll be opening this year, and it'll be interesting to see how that course looks.
Well, you know what it'll do is it'll enhance the Pete Dye Golf Trail in Indiana, which was I was one of the first to play it. Boy, it must have been 3 or 4 years ago at least. It includes a course like French Lick. It includes it's a good trail, but much better than a lot of other trails in that it touches Pete's first course and his latest ones, and now, of course, this is a great fit for it. I mean, it's got to have a lot of interest for Pete Dye fans, which of which I certainly am one. So I'm going to try to make that fit in when we get back to the Midwest.
One of the announcements this week at one of our favorite places in the home of American Golf, Pinehurst, is that, and it was touched on during the interview I did with Resort President Tom Pashley back in February, but Pinehurst did make it official this week. They are actually building a new a bar with some restrooms and so forth out on the par 3 cradle course. And bathrooms out on the golf course were something that was lacking. And they did have that really cool-looking, one of the great beverage carts around the country, the Pine Cone. And I have a picture of it on golfersongolf.com today on the story we're just posted about it. But there's going to be a centralized location on the cradle where people can take a break after a couple laps around the golf course, grab a beverage, something to eat, and there'll be restrooms so people can just sort of stay out there and play all day. A lot of people are doing that now, but had to run all the way back to the main clubhouse to use the facilities at times. And I think with people being able to grab a bite to eat and, you know, some beverages and restrooms out there, people that go around the cradle two or three times might go around the cradle three, four, or five times.
You know, the cradle was really, I kind of think, like, was kind of a breakthrough thing. $50 for a nine-hole course, and then and you can play all day long if you want. And people did. That's a very addictive thing, the cradle. These are good improvements on it, but the cradle set the bar pretty high for every other short course out there now, especially at the resorts. And more resorts are getting into different versions of short courses, of par three courses. But I tell you, I can't think of one better than the cradle. Pinehurst always does everything right, though, so it's not surprising, and I can only imagine how much these new upgrades are going to improve the product.
Well, and finally, we do want to mention the Golfers on Golf Radio returning next weekend to WCPT AMA 20. We've got a little later tee time for now. We're going to be starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoons. The broadcast ownership group has just been slammed in demand for airtime on all of the stations that they own, and they've moved some things around. I know that we had announced we were going to go back to one of our old sister stations, WNDZ, a couple of weeks ago, but the opportunity to get back on WCPT was too much to pass up, and it also allows us the first option to move back into our old time slot on Saturday morning should it open back up, which it might. And so we're hoping before the season ends we'll be back on Saturday mornings, but for now we'll take advantage of being on while the live action is being shown on the PGA Tour and other tours on Saturday afternoon. And Len, looking forward to having you back as part of the show again.
Oh, it was a real treat to join the show on a regular basis last year, and I think this I think this 4 o'clock start is going to be something fresh and new and different, and it's going to be, because it's be interesting to see how it plays out for everybody. But I think I think a lot of listeners will find it an interesting thing to tune that in after their rounds at the local courses. And while the PGA or LPGA or USGA events are in progress, we'll give them some fresh insight that they may not get elsewhere.
Well, of course, with late TV times for the majors, it'll be nice to be on the air while live action is out there in progress, especially during those tournaments. Well, Len, that's all we've got for this week, and we'll look forward to Zeman Spears coming up towards the end of next week, Volume 12, and we'll look forward to that, and then we'll look forward to having you join us on the season opener of Golfers on Golf Radio next Saturday afternoon.
Bring it on.